The New Testament lesson is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people.
We're going to skip the hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. We'll sing it another time. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In both readings today, we have the image of darkness and the shadow of death. The shadow of death, that doesn't sound very good, does it? I asked my friend Rabbi Josh Brindell from Temple Ashe Emunin the meaning of was shadow of death translated from the Hebrew literally? And he said, yeah, that's what it means, the shadow of death. It's a colloquialism. It means in mortal peril or in big trouble. We of course know the phrase from the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, two traditional themes for Epiphany are light shining in darkness and the calling to Christian discipleship, which we had both of them in our lessons today, and I hope to combine them today in a much abbreviated version. And here's how. Christian discipleship is what God is calling us to do and to be followers of Jesus. But the shadow of death is the context in which we do it. And I need to say a little bit about how death is described in the New Testament. Death is not just, you know, death, the end of life, the cessation of life at the end of life. In the New Testament, death is also much more than that. It's a power. It's a power that can rob you of full life even while you're living. The power of death. For example, you know, Paul in Romans says that Christ has freed us from sin and death. And that doesn't mean that he's freed us, that we're going to not die. We'll all die. But what it means is Christ has freed us from this power of death that has its hold over us while we live. And I've been thinking about that this week, about the powers that be, and especially the living in such a way that we resist the powers that would rob our life of fullness, not just death, but other powers that the New Testament talks about. And I was thinking about it particularly in the light of Martin Luther King, who was able to look beyond the reality of America to the promise of America and realize that the inequality that he was protesting against was a betrayal, really, of the promise of America. And it was a power that had its hold over the country that needed to be resisted, and so that we could have full life and equality and freedom. And I got a little bit of a taste of that yesterday, watching the marches, the power of positive marches. My wife Martha went. And her mother went, and our daughter went, so we had three generations there, three and a half if you count our daughter being pregnant. And I want to tell you a little story. When Martha was a little girl, her mother took her out of school because she heard that Dr. Martin Luther King was going to be giving a speech at the Boston Common. So Martha, I don't know how old, maybe 8 years old, something like that, or? Not quite. 10? Okay. So got to hear Martin Luther King on Boston Common, and she was on Boston Common again yesterday with her mother, who's 85 years old. So the generations pass on this affirmation of life that goes against the darkness of the times, life in the shadow of death. You know, as Christians, we believe that Christ is the world's true light. And a good illustration of that is when I was pastor in Pittsfield, we used to have a service on Maundy Thursday in Holy Week called the Tenebrae Service with the Extinguishing of the Lights. Some of you may have experienced this service. The Passion story, the end of Jesus' life, is read. And at the end of each reading, one of the deacons who does the reading has a candle, and they blow out the candle. And at the very end, when there's only one candle left, the reading is from Mark, and it says, "And they led him out to be crucified." And the last deacon blows out the candle. And the whole congregation sits in darkness. I mean, it's total darkness. What could be darker than that? Where is hope? Where is light? And after sitting in darkness for a while, the choir would start singing, "Christ is the world's true light, its captain of salvation, a day star clear and bright of every man and nation. New life, new hope awaits, awakes where'er we hold his sway. Freedom, her bondage breaks, and night is turned to day." It's a very powerful moment. Now, it seems to me that our calling as Christians, what God wants us to be and do, is always to be bearers of that light. Yes, Christ is the world's true light, but Jesus said to us, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." So everybody that bears the name of Jesus, everybody who is a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is called to bear the light, to hold light up in the face of the shadow of death or anything that robs our life of fullness. And so we're going to end our service by singing again, "This Little Light of Mine." After we take the offering, the deacons are going to hand out candles, and we're going to sing that. And that will be our service for today. So let's do that. Free.